This weekend, we got the big concert ahead of us. We've got Journey former lead vocalist Steve Augeri. He's headlining the Norwalk Seaport Association's 41st annual Oyster Festival. And on the line with me now is Steve Augeri. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Alan, how you doing? It's great to be on the air with you today, and we're really looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Plus, I've got Mike Riley, the president of the Norwalk Seaport Association as well. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. It's great to be on the phone with you today. We're very excited for Saturday night at 8:30 for Steve Augeri and a night of Journey. It's going to be fantastic.
Now, Steve, I'm going to start with you. You've had a very busy summer. You just came back from Detroit and Minnesota. This weekend, you're going to be in Norwalk, and then you're on your way to Chile, if I read correctly.
Yeah, there's a couple of stops in between there, but yeah, we get out to Chile as many as two times a year. So we've got it good over there. We've got a great fan base, and they just keep on inviting us year after year, so it's beautiful down there. And it's nice because it'll be just in time for spring. While we're hitting fall, and the leaves will be falling here and changing, things are going to be starting to come alive there. So we'll be in Chile in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's good routing. That's the way to do it. But you get to enjoy the last vestiges of summer this weekend in Norwalk at the Oyster Festival.
Let me tell you how excited we are that it's an Oyster Festival. Because, you know, being a Northeast guy, my stretch of beach is Coney Island. So, you know, that's just fine with me. But going up north and into beautiful New England, we're going to be really excited about getting up there, and especially tasting some of your oysters. So looking forward to that.
I promise you oysters, Steve. You will have oysters.
And I bet you there's some lobster bisque in our future as well.
There's lobster bisque. We have lobsters on the field. We have the best lobster rolls, all sorts of oyster stuff. Great
food. It sounds like
and
a great weekend.
Yeah, we're very excited. You know, the Seaport, which owns Sheffield Island Lighthouse, which is right off the shore here, about a mile offshore, we do the Oyster Festival to raise money to keep that lighthouse beautiful and keep it restored, and that's what we do. This is what this whole organization is about. And this year, our lighthouse is 150 years old.
Wow.
That was a good line. It got cut off, but Steve said it keeps the light on.
Yeah, right. We're all working to keep the lights on, but that lighthouse, boy, that's got some great history, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's great.
And I want to hear about it when I get up there.
Yeah, no problem.
Now, Steve, speaking of history, how did you get your start? Prior to Journey, how did you get your start?
Well, of course, thanks to the New York City music system back in the late 60s and early 70s, and watching the Beatles the first time they were on Ed Sullivan. Fast forward of quite a few years, I had a wonderful band on Epic Records called Tall Stories. And in fact, there's a Connecticut, native Connecticut bass player by the name of Kevin Tatoyan, who's from your neck of the woods there. And he was in the band Tall Stories. And then from there, I was in a wonderful band called Taiketto. And then I gave it all up to work for The Gap. And
The Gap, the clothing store?
Yeah. So I was a maintenance manager. I was swinging a hammer for them and painting, fitting rooms, et cetera, changing light bulbs and toilet bowl seats, et cetera. Very glamorous life. Not very rock star. Hashtag. And and lo and behold, one day I just got a phone call out of the blue, and it was Neil Sean. And then 5 minutes later, I got another phone call from Jonathan Cain.
Oh, wow.
And they invited me to come and audition. And so it was one of those Cinderella moments where I had turned my back and just was fine with walking away from my music career because I had achieved more than most folks, because it's a one in a million chance to make it in that industry. And
oh,
I thought I did pretty good at the time. I had two records out and you know, two wonderful bands, and I thought I did pretty good, so I went to go, you know, feed my family, put food on the table and a roof over our heads. And a year later I got the big call, and that's when things got interesting.
Do you have any idea how they found out about you, how they knew, how do they get your phone number?
Well, it was twofold. Number one, we were label mates when my Tall Story record came out, and I think it was, let's just say it might have been 91, 92. They were putting out a record without Steve Perry, but with John Waite, and the band was called Bad English.
Mm-hmm.
So we were label mates, and I guess eventually they heard the music, and, you know, we kind of exchanged promotional copies here and there, and they got a hold of my record, and vice versa, of course. But the story is that Neil said if they ever got the band back together and if Steve wasn't available or didn't care to move forward, they were going to give me a call and give us a shot. So that's exactly what happened.
Wow, that's amazing.
And then the second factor was there was a friend of mine, and it's, let's face it, in life, it's not only who you know, it's being in the right place at the right time and having, you know, you do have to have, hopefully you have some of the goods, but really it's who you know. And a gentleman, Joe Cefalu from Brooklyn, New York, who went out west and befriended Neil Sean, he put a cassette tape in his hand as well. So, you know, there's a lot of kismet, a lot of fate. The stars aligning and, you know, and a lot of luck, let's put it that way, in capital letters.
Now, before you guys got into the studio, how much time had you spent with the band? Was there a ton of rehearsal, or did you guys kind of just go for it?
Oh, no, not very much. There was a week of auditions, 5 days of recording, five classic Journey songs, and then five brand-new songs. And then from there, they brought it over to the big executives at the label and the management, and they wanted to get the thumbs up or thumbs down. And luckily for me, they got the thumbs up. And we went right into the studio and re-recorded a song for the Armageddon soundtrack.
That's right. That was Remember Me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
With a little band by the name of Aerosmith from your neck of the woods.
Actually. Sure. Yep. North of Boston.
Yeah.
That's right.
We only had like a number one song that was one of the greatest, not that it was their greatest song, but probably one of their biggest hits for sure.
Oh, yeah. And that, I mean, but that album was just a monster. You know, so like that must have been quite a thrill. The first song you do with the band, and it's on one of the biggest albums of the decade.
Well, I'm staring at it, and it's 7 times platinum, so it wasn't too bad. It was a pretty good start.
And then when you hit the road, what were those first couple of gigs like, taking that stage for the first time?
Well, it was nerve-wracking because, for obvious reasons, Steve Perry left a pretty huge wake. You know, not to use the analogy of big shoes, because that's been said, but imagine he's a huge, huge ocean liner, and he leaves a big wake. And here's a little upstart like me getting a chance of a lifetime to work with one of America's premier, if not one of the best, maybe the best rock and roll band out of America. And so it was pretty daunting. However, sometimes you get a shot and you get an opportunity in life, and you either have to face it head on, and, you know, you got to get your courage up, and you just have to tighten your bootstraps and tighten your belt and go for it. Otherwise, if you don't put 200% into it, it's not going to happen. So I did my best. I took my best shot. And it lasted for nearly a decade. So, I was fortunate. I was fortunate that the band gave me the opportunity, but more than that, or certainly equally, the audience and the fans gave me the opportunity. It wasn't overnight. It took several years before they accepted me. But eventually that did happen. And that's just a pretty good thing.
We're talking with Journey former lead vocalist Steve Augeri, who Saturday night will be at the Norwalk Seaport Association headlining the 41st annual Oyster Festival. And what can we expect from your show? What's in the set list? Can you give us a hint?
Well, as you can imagine, we have to satisfy the folks who are coming to see and hear Journey music. So we're going to absolutely take care of that appetite. We're going to do their greatest hits, the best of. And then we're going to do a couple of interesting surprises at the end that we always like to do, and that's still in the classic rock vein, but we just keep things interesting. And by the way, I have a friend of mine who lives out by you guys, and he played there a couple of years ago, John Cafferty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
I saw a little video of him playing out there, and it looks like you guys have – it looked like a ball, and it looked like a great stage and great lighting, so the production looks top-notch, and we're really looking forward to it.
Well, that's why we got Mike Riley as well, the president of the Norwalk Seaport Association. So, Mike, how is Veterans Park looking right now?
It's looking really good. We're down here today working like crazy. It's really, really hot, but it's going to clear out and be cool for the weekend. And we're just very excited to have, you know, a great night of Journey music. It's going to be fantastic. And I think it's great. As I was telling Steve before, we tried to have Kevin Tatoyan's band open up for Steve, but it didn't work out because they had something else. He's in a band called Tangled Vine, and that's what we wanted him to open for Steve because they're good old friends, and just didn't work out because they had another gig then, some wedding they had to play or something. But we tried putting that together, but we're excited, and it's going to be nice weather, and I think send all the Journey fans here because it's going to be a great night.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, the weather's hot now, but this breaks, and this weekend is looking good, and we need it. We've had it entirely. Well, Steve, if you're from the East Coast, you know what we've been dealing with this summer.
Yeah, I know, but I want to emphasize this to everybody. You know it's all going to change soon. This may be the last, summer's last hurrah. So if you come out this weekend, let's say goodbye to summer in a big way, in a big celebration. Yeah. With some great music.
So, Steve, it's funny you say that because I always say it's the last big thing. We're the last big thing of the summer.
So that's the way I see it, and because we're going to do the very same thing. We're going to put all our energy and all our love and passion into the show, and we would love to see everybody come out from Connecticut as far as – I've got folks coming in from Rhode Island and certainly from New York, so we'd love to see everybody come out in droves.
Let's do it this Saturday night, the headliner for this weekend's 41st annual Norwalk Seaport Association Oyster Festival, Journey former lead vocalist Steve Ogieri. Steve, we're really looking forward to this. It's going to be awesome this weekend.
Thanks, Alan. I couldn't say it more, except I could say it louder, but that's not going to emphasize anything. Well, so let me just agree with you 100%. I'll say ditto. And please, come on out, everybody. Oyster Fest this Saturday night at 8:30 p.m., not 8 o'clock. But there'll be music all day. Isn't that correct, Mike?
That's correct. We have multiple stages. There'll be music all the time and great food, craft beer, and all sorts of good stuff.
And oysters.
Let's not forget. How dare we? Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for spending a few minutes with me.
Thanks.
Thank you, Alan. Have a great day.